psalm that is a comfort in the time of trouble. Oftentimes when people are going through difficult times, I may have them to read Psalm 91 when they're facing obstacles in their life. It's a psalm that is encouraging to know that in verse 1, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that is a comforting thought to know that we are in a secret place that God knows about. But that's not where I want to go with that tonight. In fact, verses 3 through 4 is where I want to draw your attention tonight. In recent days, I guess in the last few weeks, good friend of mine, I say a good friend of mine, I've known him for many years, he pastored a church, a good church, a large church outside of Burlington for a number of years. But some years ago, while one day I had the news on, and when the news came over, it had his picture and had the school in which he did teach at, the same one that I used to teach at, and they were reporting that he had been arrested and charged with a sexual crime. And so he has spent the last 5 years in prison. He was tried and found guilty. And, of course, through that, his ministry was shot, and his family, his wife. He's out of prison right now. But I have another preacher brethren. I'm not as close to him. I do know him. And I mentioned to the Wednesday night folks here a couple weeks ago, I didn't call his name, and I'm not, but he's incarcerated. He's locked up down in Lee County right now. Here he was an associate pastor of a church in Sanford, and he the charges against him is solicitation of prostitution of a 14-year-old. And you say, preacher, how in the world could somebody do that? How could, especially a preacher, how could that happen? I think Psalm chapter 91, verses 3 and 4 gives us insight. And it's an insight that you and I need to take to heart tonight, because if these men that had surrendered their life to preach and had been involved in the ministry, if Satan could trip them up, do you not think that he can trip you up? Amen? You might say, preacher, I don't have anything to worry about. I've got a good sound home, got a good sound marriage. I've got good, you know, good friends and everything. Rest assured, my friend, that Satan is out. His goal, John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Doesn't matter how he does it, but that's his job. He wants to destroy everything that's good, decent, holy, right, and righteous. He wants to wreak havoc in your life. Now, that's not to say that we need to tuck our heads in the ground and just say, well, I'm just going to let things pass over. No, sir. But we do need to be aware of some of his tactics. So notice in Psalm chapter 91, and beginning in verse number 3 and verse 4, here's what the Bible said. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Here lately, I've been interested in finding things that have to do with birds in the Bible. And I'm working on a message having to do with the eagle. That Psalm 103 that when we went down to Ashboro just a couple weeks ago or whatever, stuck in my mind that it says that we would renew as the eagle. I've been studying on the eagle, and I'll share that with you at another time. But here in verse 3 and 4, I want you to see this phrase here. In verse 3, the snare of the fowler. And I will speak to you just a little while on that subject. How to escape the snare of the fowler. Let's pray. Father, I pray for help. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts tonight. Lord God, I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, for the power of God once again. Use us, I pray. Speak to every heart that's present. For we'll thank you in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. All God's people said, amen. What is a fowler? Well, a fowler is by definition a professional bird catcher. Back in the days before firearms, they tell me that a fowler was used to set snares and traps on the ground for birds. They would fashion perhaps some type of net and some type of trap and a snare so that their goal was to capture these innocent birds. The psalmist here is giving a comparison to a fowler and to Satan. He says that the fowler is a lot like the devil, that he lays traps, that he's out to catch you up. He's out to put something in front of you that looks inviting, and in the long run, it's going to give you heartache and brokenness and hurt and pain. He wants to trap you, and the psalmist though says, Lord, look here in these verses, Lord, deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Now, a fowler would take different methods in catching young birds. Sometimes they would rob the nest of little birds. I was walking across our yard at night the other night, and I heard something chirping, looked down, and there's a little bird that was down in the grass, and it was just had been hatched, I guess, and it couldn't fly, and you heard it chirping as it tried to make its way across the grass. Well, the fowler would go out, and he would rob birds out of the nest. Then he would take them and build a cage. The cage was hidden from view. He put those birds in that cage and set them in strategic areas so that those birds began to chirp and they began to make those bird sounds, and it would entice other birds to come to where they were, and then they would fall into the trap of the fowler. The fowler then, he would either take those birds that he's captured and either kill them, or he might even use what they called a throw stick to capture those birds. The cry of those tame birds is what the psalmist is referring to here, if you'll notice in verse number 3. And he says that, Lord, deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The word noisome pestilence is that little bird chirping, helpless. And that other mature bird would hear the chirping of the little bird and go to try to help him, and in doing so, that mature bird would be captured or killed. You might say, well, what would they do with them? Well, the fowler sold the birds that he captured for a cage pet to some people. For others, they wanted birds for sacrifices, or others just for plain food. But the psalmist here is comparing the devil to a fowler. Keep that in mind. Here is a man who has devised certain methods, certain traps. He knows his prey. He knows what to entice them with. He knows what to lay out in front of them. He knows exactly what kind of bait to use. Much like going fishing. You can go out to a pond and you may have a particular lure and try that and try that. Nothing happens, and then the fellow next to you got one different color and he throws out and he catches something. The fowler knows what it's going to take to catch the prey. And so with that in mind, here's the good news though. Don't get all down and discouraged. The good news is this, that the Lord God Almighty can help us to escape the snare of the fowler. But you and I have got to be a little bit wise about this. A friend of mine the other day asked me, said, about this individual locked up in jail, and said they've sent word to for him to come and visit with him. And this friend said, what would you say to him? And I said, brother, one thing is for certain, is that he did not just automatically decide one morning he was going to wreck his life and solicit a 14-year-old to meet him out somewhere. He didn't just get up in one morning and say, hey, I think I'll go ahead and just find a young lady that I could have sex with. I said, friend, it went back way, way, way before that. But where did that start? It started with the devil laying a snare. And he laid something enticing. He laid something that appealed to the senses. He laid something out there that sparked the curiosity, as he did with Adam and Eve. The fruit was good to look upon. It was desirous. It looked like it could be wonderful. And when they took of that fruit and ate of that fruit, their eyes were opened and sin entered into the world. Make no bones about it. The devil is after you and your family, your children, your grandkids. He is out to wreck and ruin and destroy everything that God has done in your life. And beloved, it don't take but just one moment and it all can be gone. Y'all believe that? Let's look here tonight. What is the first thing? There's about three or four things I'll share with you tonight, and then we'll let you go. How can you avoid the snare of the fowler? Number one, you must stay aware. 2 Corinthians 2:11 said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We must not, in this day in which we're living, we must not become ignorant of Satan's devices. Beloved, I listen, there's a lot of good stuff that you could find on the internet. But there's a lot of junk too. Amen. There's some good things you can find on television, but there's a lot of junk too. Amen. There's a lot of good programming on radio, but there's a lot of trash as well. You've got to be smart enough. You've got to be intelligent enough. You've got to think and say, I'm going to be aware of what's coming in through the eye gate and coming in through the ear gate, because the only way that the fowler, the devil, can lay a snare is either through what you look at or what you listen to. And here the Bible says we need to be aware of his devices. There are many carnal people today that have sold out for the fleshly desires of the world. I mean, listen, I'll just be dogmatic about it. I guarantee you there's some sitting at home tonight with a glass of iced tea watching a ball game or grilling out hamburgers when they should be in the house of God. They've given over to the carnal appetite. They think that coming to church one time a week, Sunday morning, punch it in, punch it out, they've done God a favor and they don't need God the rest of the week. Let me tell you something. The devil is laying a snare for them, and if they're not careful, they'll end up with wreck and ruin and heartache and disappointment. Amen. It might come through their children. It might come through their grandchildren. It might come through a broken marriage. It might come through heartache. I don't know how it can come, but friend, we must be aware of this. Listen, if all that we get is on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's not enough to keep us on fire for God. The devil will lay a snare and he'll trap you up. But we have folks today that are carnal, living for the flesh. We've got churches today that are carnal, living for the flesh instead of the things of the Lord. And I know this and I understand this, and I'm not trying to beat you up tonight. I'm just trying to say, I know that in the last days that perilous times will come. I know that in the last days the love of many is going to wax cold. But it's like Brother Danny said just a couple, 3 weeks ago, look around you tonight, and average age of us in here tonight is over 50. What's going to be like in 10 years from today? Amen. Oh, you can say amen, owe me one. I'm not preaching at you, I'm just helping you. Amen.
But friend, they lay traps, and we've got to stay aware and realize, hey, that it is important that we get in the house of God and have the preaching of God's word. That's the only way we're going to stand firm. Notice something here. Satan's devices are concealed. They're concealed in darkness. You want to lay a good trap. Listen, I've never been a good hunter, but I know one thing. Praise God, if you want to go coon hunting, you go at nighttime. Amen. Why? Because that's the best time to go. Best time to go fishing is really after dark instead of the daytime. Why is it? Because in darkness, sometimes the traps are concealed. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Don't walk in darkness. Men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Darkness. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Either you love light or you love darkness. You can't love both of them. It's either one or the other. And Satan will lay his devices in the darkness. Oh, listen. Second of all, they're concealed in darkness, but they're concealed in deceit. Proverbs 7:21 says this, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it was his life. Hearken unto me therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 7 talks about this woman here that goes after a man. And she knows what she's doing. She's got flattering lips. She's got fair speech. And my friend, she has got a goal in mind. And beloved, let me say that goal is concealed in deceit. She's only doing that so she can get what she wants. And that guy is just so gullible, he follows her just like the Bible said, like an ox that's going to the slaughter. We got to be aware. Fellas, can I tell you something tonight? You better be aware. If that lady down at the work or that lady at the store, if she starts talking to you and flattering you and saying, oh, boy, I wish my husband was as kind as you are. I wish he was as thoughtful as you are. You better mark it down, honey. You better stay away. You better say, hey, wait a minute. The devil's trying to lay a snare for me and my family. I best listen. Amen. Second, also number three quickly, it's concealed in disguise. Everything the devil does, he does in disguise. You remember back in the Garden of Eden, what did he choose to use? He chose a serpent to use to deceive Eve and Adam. It was the most subtle of all the beasts of all the field. It wasn't a soul slithering snake. But that beast, that serpent walked uprightly. And the Bible said it was the most cunning. I believe it was the most beautiful. You know, the devil is sly. He is a trickster. He doesn't show you the end result. He doesn't show you the end results of drugs. He doesn't show you the end result of alcohol. He doesn't show you the end result of a life that is misspent. He shows you the bright lights and the good times and the enjoyment. He never shows you what the end result's going to be. So here we got to be wise with that. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 11. Well, there are such false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Beloved, can I just be dog honest with you tonight? That's why so many other contemporary works are moving and growing, and people, and I'm not trying to throw stones at them. I'm just saying this, is that oftentimes everything that you hear is not the gospel truth. Amen. And people are flocking to those places and filling those places up, and they come out of there and say, oh, how good I felt today. And there's no mention of sin, of judgment, of justice. There's no mention of heaven or hell. It's all pat on the back, feel good, go your way, treat your neighbor right, come back next week and put your money in. The angel of light. In fact, the Bible said that some have been called false apostles, deceitful workers. Therefore, it is a great thing if his ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let not no man think me a fool. Sometimes Satan comes disguised as a pretty girl, a handsome boy, a fine Christian, or a great preacher. Make no bones about it. He is smart. He is cunning. You've got to understand, he's been doing this now for thousands of years. He's been laying snares and traps. It's not just something new today. One thing about it, he's still using old things. He hadn't come up with anything new. But the thing of it is, he's still using those things today to lay that snare out before us. And sometimes we see that snare, we know it's there, and we think we can handle this, we can do it. Hey, I'm okay, preacher, don't worry about me. Even though I'm not here, don't worry about me, I'm all right. And the next thing you know, their lives are messed up. Notice Satan's devices are clever. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, and that thou shalt not eat of the every tree of the garden? The word subtle means here crafty. It means shrewd. It means sly. Satan is clever. He's clever enough to throw doubt in your mind. He's clever enough to cast disbelief in your mind. He's clever enough to put distrust in your mind. Satan will lay a snare for you. Notice the third thing here quickly. Satan's devices are concentrated. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. The Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is out to seek, to search, and to snare you if he can. Put your trust in the Lord. Go back to Psalm 91 here. How can we avoid the snare of a fowler? And from the noise and pestilence, second of all, you got to step away sometime. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn not from it, pass away. There are four things to get away from the snare of the evil one. Number one, recognize what's going on. Even the Spirit of truth, John 14 says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Know what God's vision is for your life. Put your sights upon the things of the Lord. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get off track. Put your vision on the things of the Lord and realize that it does pay to serve Jesus, and that you can mess up and ruin your life in a moment, in just an instant, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Second of all, not only there's recognition, but there has to be refusal. Back in Genesis 39, Joseph was faced with the possibility of committing immorality. He was a single man. He was working in the household of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife, I guarantee you, she was a beautiful lady. And day after day, she vexed that young man. She said, come lie with me. The master will never know it. Come on, enjoy this thing together, and he'll never know this. And Joseph said, I can't do this thing. I cannot do this thing here, because that would be going against my master, but it also be going against my God. And friend, can I tell you something? We lose sight sometime that our God sees us 24/7. He sees us when we're doing good, but he sees us when we're doing bad. He sees us when we're watching something and listening to something we ought not to, and God sees that. Amen? Keep that in mind, and we sometimes will have to refuse Satan's temptation. And Joseph said, I'll not do this thing. Third of all, we have to refuse Satan's titles. In Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Sometimes, I don't know if y'all remember, we shown that film here, Courageous. There's a section in that film about that Hispanic man, as they, those men that he was working for, that they said, listen, we need somebody that we can put over charge of like third shift, second shift or whatever. And so they were interviewing him to do that. He was already working there. And they said, but now here's what we need you to do. We need you to
misfigure these inventory. And he goes home and he's tossed about. Here he is, got this job, and here he is afraid to not do it, but he's afraid to do it, and he's got to make a decision. Do I say no and run the risk of being fired, or do I say yes, and then it quenches the Spirit of God? And so he walked back in that next morning. They said, well, are you ready to take this position? Are you ready to help us with this inventory and forge the numbers a little bit? He said, listen, I can't do it. I can't do it. If y'all want to let me go, I just go now. And they looked at him with a smile on their face and they said, you're the man that we've been looking for. You see, his integrity shone in the midst of a trial. And friends, sometimes when everything else is turned against us, when everything else is going away from us, we have to either decide what we're going to do is right, or either we're going to decide what the world wants us to do. What's it going to be? Are you going to quench the Spirit of God and go ahead and obey the world, or say, let the world and everything else pass away? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Last of all, you've got to be able to soar above the snare. His provisions are given here. Psalm 91, verse 3, look what the Bible said. Surely he will deliver us. Surely, surely he will. He will give us the power to be delivered from the snare of the fowler. God provides you the wings for you to soar. God provides you the ability that you can rise over. Whatever the devil lays out in front of you, rest assured there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will provide a way. His protection helps you to soar. Look in Psalm 91, verse 4. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. The safest place you could be is under the wings of Almighty God. A farmer one time found a baby eagle that was hurt. He took the baby eagle in and nursed it back to health. And after he nursed it back to health, he had some chickens that he raised. And so he put that baby eaglet in with the chickens. Soon afterwards, everything the chickens did, the eagle did. When the chickens would peck, the eagle would peck. Chickens would strut, eagle would strut. He thought he was a chicken. One day, they say a forest ranger came by, and of course it's against the law to cage up a bald eagle. He come by and he saw the farmer and he had this eagle, and he said, what are you doing with that eagle? He said, well, I took him in, nursed him back to health, and he said, he thinks he's a chicken right now. That ranger said, sir, I'm going to take that eagle and I'm going to teach him how that he needs to fly. So he got that eagle out of that cage with the chickens. And he put him on the ground and that eagle began to walk like a chicken and peck like a chicken. That ranger reached over and picked him up and tossed him up in the air and he wouldn't fly. He just plopped back down to the ground. He thought he's a chicken. Finally, that ranger, he took that eagle up to the top of the mountain. And he held that eagle up toward the sky. And he said to that eagle, you're not meant to be a chicken. You're meant to be an eagle. You're meant to fly, to soar, not to peck. And they say that all of a sudden there were some other eagles that were flying around. And that eagle saw those other eagles. And the ranger took and threw him up the second time off the top of the mountain. And that eagle began to fly. He began to soar. Because now he was with his own. He wasn't no longer a chicken, but he was a mighty eagle. And beloved, can I say something to you tonight? God doesn't want you to be a chicken pecking on the ground. He wants you to be an eagle. They that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, the old devil out there, right here, he wants to lay a trap for you. He wants to lay a trap to where you will be captured by our own lust, our own desires, our own wishes. And all of a sudden the devil said, hey, he's meant to be an eagle, but I've got him now. He's nothing more than a chicken. Beloved, I don't want to be no chicken. Say amen. Chickens get eaten. Say amen to that. Eagles, they are the birds that fly in the skies, the symbol of freedom of our country. The Bible said, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Sir, make no bones about it. The devil's done laid a snare out for you. Ma'am, he's laid a snare out for you. You said, preacher, it never happened to me. Not in a million years. Oh, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is the snare of the fowler. Be wise. Know that when the fowler lays that snare, that God has provided the resources that not to be captured, not to be caught, but be able to soar above the old devil. Amen. Let's pray. Would you stand, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's made a way of escape. You may be here tonight and you might have the devil just raking havoc in your life. He's laid some traps. He's laid some snares. He's laid some disappointment and hurt. And you say, preacher, I don't think I could ever get over that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You say, so-and-so, they did this and they hurt me and I hadn't been able to move past it. Move past it. Because you see, the devil lay a snare. Some of the most beautiful things you think are actually traps and snares. Sometimes the most inviting things that are set before you, you need to discern the will of God and say, is this for me or is it not for me? Sometimes that job or that promotion or that school, whatever it might be the most inviting thing in your life, and yet the devil's laid a snare for you. Pray that God would deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Heavenly Father, take the simple message, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord God, I pray, God, and direct us this week as we go our separate ways. Bring us back at the appointed hour. And for all that, we'll thank and praise you and rejoice in the goodness of God. And we'll thank in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.